Hi, and welcome to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. Researchers have been working to develop an exciting new option for patients with cancer, personalized vaccines that teach the body to recognize cancer cells and help the immune system learn to attack the cancer. In this episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast, Dr. Thomas Marin, director of the Early Phase Trials Unit at the Tisch Cancer Institute and assistant professor of medicine at Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York, explains how personalized cancer vaccines work, the latest research on them, and what we can expect to see down the road.
Love to get started then by talking about the development of cancer vaccines and what that really looks like and what it really means in the world of cancer. I know there have been a few already approved, but what that would really look like with the continued approval of them.
So when we talk about approved cancer vaccines, there's two different types. There's, you know, a lot of times people will refer to the HPV vaccine as a cancer vaccine, which it has, you know, been a revolutionary vaccine in preventing HPV and therefore preventing HPV-related cancer. So there's that sort of vaccine. There's another vaccine type that's called Provenge is the name of the drug. And it's basically a cellular therapy where, you know, you take people's cells out of their arm, you send them to a factory, you teach them how to recognize prostate cancer, and you give them back to patients. And it is a very exciting concept. And it's nice to have one of those cellular therapies out there. It really, you know, it only prolongs survival in prostate cancer patients by about 4 months overall survival. So it's not, you know, the be all and end all that, you know, we wanted with a vaccine. So overall, the goal of a vaccine is really to teach your body how to recognize something foreign. So your immune system is there to tell the difference between foreign things like COVID and self things like your skin and your hair and your lungs. And your cancer is somewhere in between, regardless of your type of cancer. All cancers are like this. They're somewhere in between because you were not born with cancer. So it's something foreign to your body. And it's something that looks foreign because of mutations in your DNA, your genetic information that have caused the cancer to happen. Those mutations theoretically can be recognized by your cancer as foreign. And so your immune system should be able to attack the cancer. And in cancer, though, basically finds a variety of ways to outsmart the immune system. It does a few things. One of the things it does is it puts up stop signs like PD-L1. And so we have a lot of immune therapies that are now advertised on television. So everyone knows about them, Keytruda and Opdivo, that tear down those stop signs. And we have a lot of other ways in which the cancer basically evades the immune system. And we have over 5,000 agents that are in preclinical and clinical development right now in the immuno-oncology space. And that's really what my role is the head of the phase one program here, is developing these new immune therapies. But most of those immune therapies are really dedicated to tearing down stop signs or sort of outsmarting the cancer, which is already outsmarting us. And so what vaccines are really about is not so much the cancer outsmarting the immune system. Vaccines are really helpful for patients where their immune system hasn't yet been taught what to be on the lookout for. So, you know, Keytruda and Opdivo work really well when your immune system is just sitting there waiting to pounce, but the cancer has put up a lot of stop signs, put up a lot of PD-L1. So as soon as you give Keytruda, it allows your immune system to go to work and do what it's been itching to do ever since it learned and it was taught what your cancer looks like. But most patients don't respond to checkpoint blockade. Even patients who have skin cancer or lung cancer, where we have really good data and, you know, lots of FDA approvals for immune therapies and those types of cancer, the majority of patients eventually are going to die. And a lot of them don't even respond from the get-go. And so we have a lot of work to do. And one of the thoughts is that one of the reasons why patients might not respond is their immune system might not have been taught how to recognize the cancer from the get-go. And it might not, you know, your T cells, which are really the soldier cells of your immune system, may not have been trained to recognize, you know, lung cancer, you know, mutated protein X. And so that's one of the goals that really is the central goal of all cancer vaccines. And so there's two types of cancer vaccines that we focus on. One of them was the type that we presented at AACR this year. And that was what we call a personalized vaccine. And really all the vaccines I'm going to talk about are personalized, but this is one that's super personalized. And basically what we did was we took patients who had cancer, like a lung cancer, for instance, that we were cutting the cancer out with the hope of curing them. And these patients also got some chemotherapy after the fact, because we always worry that even if we cut out the whole tumor, microscopic bits of that cancer have gone elsewhere in your body, which we call micrometastatic disease. You know, when we cut out the primary tumor, the cancer tends to pop up elsewhere because it had already spread, but we weren't able to see that on, you know, an MRI or a CAT scan that we had done. And so we oftentimes will cut out the tumor and we'll give chemotherapy, which is medicine, you know, through the vein that goes everywhere in the body that hopefully will kill off those tiny microscopic bits. But unfortunately, with lung cancer, when you have, you know, more advanced stage lung cancer, stage 2-3 lung cancer, those patients have a 50% or sometimes more chance of the cancer eventually coming back. And when it comes back, it's typically at that point metastatic, meaning it has spread elsewhere. And you know, classically, we would say that metastatic cancer is incurable. It's treatable, but it's incurable. And so our goal with this personalized vaccine was to create what we call an adjuvant therapy, which is a therapy that you give after surgery to further decrease the likelihood of it coming back. So what did we do? We took their tumor out and we studied their tumor and we figured out what was it that was unique and foreign about their tumor that was different from any other cell in their body. And when we did that, we basically identified the things that we thought that we might be able to teach their immune system to recognize, that we could vaccinate them again. And we used a computer algorithm that was developed here at Mount Sinai to identify, based on their tumor and also the very unique characteristics of their immune system, because every one of us has a completely different immune system, we identified the things, the top 10 things that were most foreign about their cancer that we wanted to teach the immune system to attack. And we synthesized that in the laboratory. We basically synthesized fake cancer proteins, for lack of a better term. And then we vaccinated patients with their own cancer protein, their fake cancer protein. And this was after they'd had surgery and after they had any other sort of treatment like radiation or chemotherapy. We gave them this treatment over the course of 6 months. And it was, you know, we had a few goals. So this is a phase one trial, meaning this is the first time we've done anything like this. And in this phase one trial, we had three goals. The first goal was to see, is this something that's feasible? Are we able to do this? And we enrolled 15 patients and we successfully made 15 vaccines. We only treated 13 patients because one patient, unfortunately, while they were getting chemo, their cancer just got bigger and bigger and they didn't respond. So they never got a chance to get the vaccine. And the other patient went to go on a trial at a different site. So we had 13 patients. We vaccinated all of them. And most of them, so 11 of those patients got all of the doses. And then two of them got, you know, most of the doses. And so our first goal was, is this feasible? And I would say, you know, we showed that it was feasible. The second is it safe? So anytime we do a new trial, a phase one trial, we want to know, is this drug, does it have a lot of side effects? Is it, you know, are the side effects worse than any potential benefit you're going to get? And we definitely saw that it was very safe. You know, every time people would get these vaccines, we actually split the vaccine so you get one in each arm. And other than some people having a little bit of tenderness at the injection site, most people had no real side effects. So it was definitely safe. And then the third thing that we looked at and we're still looking at, and we only presented some of the initial data from one of the first patients, is does it work? And it's hard to tell, like that's a bigger question, because what does work mean? And so, you know, our ideal, the real does it work would be a large trial in hundreds of patients where we would show, yes, we're keeping the cancer from coming back. Because in patients who got the vaccine, only 25% of the time did it come back, but people that didn't get the vaccine, 50% of the time it came back. So that's a different type of does it work. There was a much smaller aim that we had, which is it activating the immune system? Is it priming the immune system to recognize these antigens, that these proteins that we're vaccinating the patient with? And we did see that. We saw that, you know, interestingly, they had to get all 10 vaccines for it to work. But we saw in the first patient that we really, you know, got a really strong response to 7 of those 10 proteins that we gave the patient. And so it does seem like it's a successful way of vaccinating someone. And so that was really the aim of the first vaccine trial that we did, and that we're in the process of finishing the analysis of those other 12 patients so we can see if that was the reality for everyone. But
compared to, you know, what's been approved versus, you know, new technologies and what's kind of coming up behind the scenes that we can look forward to in the future.
Yeah, I think so. This vaccine is a very involved vaccine. So it's very time consuming for the patient. It's extremely expensive. expensive to make it. But I think that one of the things that trials like this, and there are similar trials that we're running and that have been done at Harvard, looking at these neoantigen vaccines, and there's a company called Neon, which actually is doing a similar approach in patients who have metastatic disease. I think from these trials, we're really learning a lot about how we can successfully vaccinate people. I think, you know, I might be wrong. So maybe 20 years from now, this is going to be the standard therapy. But, it is a tough thing that to really roll out from, a highly academic center to the rest of the world. And so what I think that is most useful about this is that we can potentially use this platform. We can use this platform for additional studies, and we are doing additional studies in other cancer types using this technology, including brain tumors and bladder cancer. But I think that what's most exciting is that we're learning a lot that hopefully we can eventually make what we call an off-the-shelf therapy. So a therapy that is sitting in the hospital ready to be used. So as soon as you get diagnosed with lung cancer, we can say, hey, we have this vaccine that we think can help you. Because there are certain mutations. Everyone has different mutations in their tumor, but there are certain mutations like in a gene called KRAS or KRAS in lung cancer, which are very common. 25% of lung cancer patients have KRAS mutations. So if we could figure out a successful way to vaccinate people against that, we would have a good vaccine for a quarter of the patients with the most common cancer. And so that would be, that's very exciting. So I think the personalized approach and this sort of approach is very exciting. And I think that, in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see this field, rapidly expand. And there's lots of companies that are really investing a lot in this, and the government's investing a lot in it. So I think that it is a very promising field. There's one other field that I think is important to talk about when you're talking about vaccines, and that is what we call in situ vaccines. And this is something that is very close to my heart. I have a lot of in situ vaccine trials that I'm running right now. And these are where you actually use a patient's own tumor to vaccinate themselves against their cancer. And so how do you do this? So when you get a vaccine, like any vaccine, you have two different things. You have the antigen, which is the thing you're trying to teach your body to recognize. So that could be, COVID, the spike protein from COVID, or it could be a flu protein or the hepatitis B surface antigen. Like it's a specific thing you're trying to teach your immune system to recognize. At the same time, when you get that injection in your arm, you get something called an adjuvant. An adjuvant is something that activates the immune system. And what happens is your immune system is recruited to your arm, and your arm becomes inflamed, which is the reason why our arms hurt for days after a COVID shot. And your immune system goes to your arm becomes inflamed, your immune system gobbles up whatever it was we injected, whether it be the COVID spike protein or flu protein or anything like that. And it learns, oh, this is what COVID looks like. This is what flu looks like in 2021. And then it goes throughout your body and looks for COVID or flu and tries to protect you from it. And if it sees it, it eliminates it, right? So that's how a vaccine works. And it doesn't just work, the cells that are learning are primarily the T cells. And your T cells aren't just with you for a few days or a few weeks. You have T cells in your body right now that were educated what measles, mumps, and rubella look like when you were a little baby. And they float around in your body for the rest of your life, protecting you from that. And you also get antibodies, which everyone knows more about now than ever before, thanks to, COVID and so much talk about antibodies. So those are the two parts of your immune system that you teach with the vaccine. So you got two things in any shot. You got your antigen, so the thing you're trying to teach your immune system to attack, and you have your adjuvant. So when you have a tumor, let's say you have a tumor on your neck, and that tumor is, if you actually cut it out and look at it under a microscope, most of it's dead, and it's just proteins, mutated proteins that are left over. So you already have number one from the vaccine. You have the thing that you want your body to recognize. So the only thing that we really have to do is inject an adjuvant. And what we can do with in situ vaccines is we can inject an adjuvant directly into the tumor. And what happens, just like an adjuvant in your arm makes your arm inflamed and brings your immune system to your arm to gobble up whatever is there and learn what to attack. Similarly, if we inject an adjuvant into your tumor, it can bring your immune system to that tumor. It can inflame that tumor. Your immune system will gobble up that dead tumor stuff, and it will learn, oh, this is what the cancer looks like. And it'll not only hopefully kill the tumor we're injecting, but it's going to go everywhere in your body the same way that your measles T cells are going everywhere in your body. And it looks for cancer elsewhere. And so not only does it kill whatever we're injecting in situ, so this is that's why we call it an in situ vaccine. We're creating the vaccine in the site of the injection, but we're also also vaccinating the whole body and developing, you know, resistance throughout the body to the cancer. And that the goal of these vaccines, these are all new treatments, and they don't work, unfortunately, for most people yet, because we're still learning how to use this technology. But the goal is not only like, let's kill the cancer right now, it's let's give you long lasting immunity. So just how you're not getting measles right now because you were vaccinated when you're a kid, I don't want that cancer coming back 30 years from now or 3 years from now. So that's another type of vaccine where instead of having to do all this stuff outside of the body, where we manufacture fake tumor and then inject it into people's arms as part of a vaccine, here we actually use a patient's own cancer against the cancer, and hopefully we can train your immune system to attack it. Cancer immunology, when I said I wanted to be a cancer immunologist 10 years ago, after finishing my PhD, people laughed at me and said I was crazy, because even just 10 years ago, cancer immunology was not a thing. Now, cancer immunotherapy is the cornerstone of the way in which we treat most cancers. And you know, it really has revolutionized the way we treat cancers. And I think that in the next 10 years, we're going to see, you know, additional layers of revolution happening in the ways in which we treat cancer, both the types of cancer that we're cutting out and also people who come in and they have cancer, you know, widespread metastatic cancer. So
with one of the developers of the Pfizer vaccine recently had announced that they were going to do a development of a cancer vaccine based off of the same technology that they used for the COVID-19 vaccine. And another expert had stated, you know, the excitement that's kind of going around that, because although it's not necessarily the newest technology, it's newly used in the history of cancer. So if you could speak a little bit more on that and the details and what could kind of come out of that technology when it comes to developing cancer vaccines.
So the technology that was used by Pfizer and Moderna to make this vaccine very quickly, the reason they were able to make the vaccine so quickly is that they'd already developed that technology and it was already in clinical trials for treating cancer. And so, you know, I have two Moderna trials open. We have a BioNTech trial, which is the Pfizer partner company for the COVID. And these companies and their the scientists who started them and the academic institutions where they came from, you know, they've been working on this for a decade. And I do think that the technology is very promising. I think it's a very exciting way in which we can harness the immune system. And what we've seen in the last year is proof that it can work. It can harness the immune system and teach the immune system to do what we want it to do. It's just about finding the perfect combination. And I think when it comes down to it, as we develop these new technologies, one of the other things that we're really working on is understanding biomarkers, which are ways of, you know, predicting which patient group is going to benefit the most from which therapy. And so ideally, you know, if I had to predict 20 years from now, and we're already doing this now, so it's just going to be even more true 20 years from now, is we'll have a biopsy of someone's tumor and we'll have a biopsy of someone's immune system, which just means a tube of blood. And by looking at their tumor and looking at their immune system, we're going to be able to predict what is the ideal therapy for this patient. Should we give them a Moderna vaccine or should we give them just pembrolizumab or Keytruda? What is it that is specifically based on their unique tumor and their unique genetic code going to be the most effective therapy for them? One, and the least toxic too, because these medicines do have side effects. And so we want to, that's our goal is always to maximize, you know, benefit while minimizing toxicity.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.